Hello, NASCAR friend. Daniel and Alessandro had the chance to talk with NASCAR driver Howie DiSavino about his career, the influence of drivers such as Denny Hamlin, his plans for the future, what it's like to be a NASCAR driver, what it's like to learn as a young driver coming up through the ranks, how quickly he rose up through the ranks, and what he expects for his future, but also how much he's involved in the community. All that and much, much more we talk about in the interview. We hope you enjoy it. Take care. Howie, thank you that you joined us. First of all, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are y'all doing?
Great. Yeah, can't
Yeah,
complain.
I'm fine too.
So Howie, obviously your name, Howard DiSavino. Do you have like European background, Italian background? Where's your last name from?
Very Italian.
Really? See?
D means from, and then there's actually a town called Savino in Italy. So my last name means from Savino.
Yeah, grandfather, grandmother.
Grandfather, yeah, grandfather was he didn't live there. I think it was my great great grandfather came over. But yeah, it's definitely something crazy. It's not a normal last name, but it's not like Smith or anything like that. So something different.
Actually, I'm also Italian. I have
Are you?
Italian parents and even the Italian citizenship. So, but I'm from the north of Italy. Then, Howie, you are obviously very young, 22 years of age. Take it back. How did you start racing? What was like the trigger point for you?
Yeah, absolutely. I talk about this a whole lot, and I grew up on a farm in Virginia, and ever since I was 4 years old. So I rode four wheelers consistently and dirt bikes and stuff like that. So I've always been a motorhead at a young age. And then next thing when I was 8 years old, started watching some NASCAR races. Told my pops that I wanted to show up to a NASCAR race, and thankfully we only have a track about 45 minutes away. So showed up there, saw these small little cars, and I told dad, I said, "Hey, I want to get into that." He said, "Yeah, whatever, buddy." And I told my dad I was going to be a NASCAR driver when I was 8 years old, and ever since that, it's been history. I started racing when I was 13, so it took about 4 years of begging to get into a race car. So it's definitely something crazy. I moved up through the ranks pretty quickly, which some people would say that hurts you. Other people say, good for you. It just depends on what you can do. So just with that being said, it's one of those type of deals.
Yeah, we did some research about you, and we found information that the place where you grew up was nearby Denny Hamlin's place. Did Denny Hamlin had matter about becoming a race driver, or is he like an idol or somebody you could learn from?
Absolutely. I mean, growing up, I grew up 3 miles away from him. So by the time I was, grown, he was already in NASCAR and he was already racing, or he was around that time. And it's crazy because his home track that he raced late model stock cars at is where I raced late model stock cars at. His crew chief was my crew chief. So we have pretty much the same path, going up through NASCAR. He just started at a much younger age, and he's definitely, I wouldn't say he's an idol. I definitely look up to him, and I appreciate what he's done, not only for the sport but just for what he's done at Joe Gibbs Racing. And all that.
And is it for you like you talked about it just growing up 3 miles from him? Is it like, do you have regular contact? Is it like, hey, Danny, I have a question about this, or I need your advice on this? For example, for the next deal, what's the most or the best thing I can do with my next step? How is it your daily life with him? Let's say it like this.
Right. But I mean, when it comes down to it, he's doing his own thing, and I don't have his number personally. We don't know each other personally. He's quite a bit older than me, and so with that, kind of being said, we don't have conversations. I have met him a few years back. I believe it was 2018 at Charlotte, and I told him about Rodney Estes, our crew chief, and I told him about me racing at Southside, and that we grew up near each other, and that basically we were taking the exact same path. He probably doesn't remember that, but it's one of those deals to where it was a surreal moment because we actually connected, and he gave me 5 minutes to talk to him before the race. So it was definitely something awesome. I would love to connect with Denny and just talk to him about, Southside Speedway, and on top of that, just everything in general.
Yeah, and then your career started in the late models. How did you adjust to drive such big cars, let's say, or so such powerful cars on the ovals nearby your house?
Right, for sure. I mean, I grew up, so I went when I was racing, I started out in these small cars, called Arena Racing. It's no longer around anymore. But it was a fantastic racing type of deal, right? And then I moved into like the big car, the late model stock car, and getting used to that is something different. When you go from 22 horsepower to 450, it's a big difference. And you're talking about, you hit the gas a little bit too hard, you will spin out. That's one of the biggest things is learning how to control the car. But even moving from there, going to the Arca Menards series or trucks or Xfinity, every car drives so much different, and the power is just insane. So it's kind of like when I was at Kansas last year, we would barrel that car off going into the corner, going 185 miles an hour. In late model stock cars, you would go 90. So it's just a huge difference on the racing and what it does.
Yeah. You've gone through many racing series, late models, ARCA, trucks, Xfinity. You already had a race experience. Can you tell the German community in short words what the biggest differences are between late models, ARCA, trucks, Xfinity? Is there something, what are the differences?
Right, it's just the chassis are different, the horsepower is different, they just drive different. Like an ARCA car, I personally feel like the front end's numb, like it just you really don't know what the car's doing. And when you go to trucks, it has so much downforce to where you can just drive into the corner, I'm sorry, the corner way harder. Xfinity, they're top heavy, they move around a lot. They're all different, and that's what makes it fun. Is that, when you hop into a car and it's just so much different, it makes a big difference on how you race and how you approach the race.
And how much does iRacing help you to prepare for those kind of different types of cars? Like, is it like a daily thing you do, hop on iRacing, or is it like, okay, just before the race, you try to adapt and try to learn even something new?
Absolutely. I hop on iRacing pretty much every single day. Usually at night, I have a few buddies that I run with. iRacing, it's good. It really is. I don't feel like that, the feel in an Xfinity car is spot on, but it does help you out, figure out your line. It helps you figure out, your braking points, your gas points, all that. So it is a good tool to have, but it's also just fun to cut it up with some friends every once in a while, and wreck each other, racing hard. So,
And obviously, your biggest step was from ARCA to trucks. Maybe tell us how did it came together, going up to this is a big step for every driver, I imagine. But what was it for you when you knew that, okay, now I'm driving for Jordan Anderson in the truck series, now I'm on the big leagues, I'm with the big guys like Mike Crafton and stuff. How was it for you?
absolutely. I mean, that's a great question. It was something that's quite different, and taking the step from ARCA to trucks. At this point in time, we didn't have practice or qualifying. We just hopped in the truck and went green because it was during COVID. So you definitely feel nervous because you didn't know what you didn't know how the truck was going to perform. So I leaned on Jordan a lot to, help me out. But the guy that really got me there was Austin Theriault. He's my manager. He's a 2017 ARCA champion. Raced in trucks for Brad Keselowski. Raced in Xfinity with Dale Jr. And Rick Ware Racing and Cup. So very accomplished driver, and he's the one that got me to where I'm at today. And so the big thanks is to him, honestly. But you know, hopping in and hopping into a truck, like a Jordan Anderson truck, I started at Richmond Raceway. That was my first race, and that's my home track. So it was like a surreal moment. And the first thing that he told me was, when you get on that starting grid, you only get one, you know, NASCAR debut. He said, to enjoy it, take it in. And you know, hearing all the fans, you know, yell when they said my name, that was fantastic. But then looking in the stands, knowing that I knew people there, and driving that truck around the racetrack, you know, was amazing. And that race actually was an awful race for me personally, just because, yeah, I lost power steering with 50 to go. So you know, you have to muscle the car around now. But the biggest thing is I finished the race, because I took what Jordan said seriously, is you only get one NASCAR debut, so you have to make the best of it.
You're living the dream of every young car guy. So how does Howie Di Savino's race weekend run? Can you take us from the way to the track, about the training during qualification, up to the race in the point of Howie's view?
Right, so you know, Monday through Thursday, we're training. You know, I go to Pit Stop Performance with Hunter Smith. You know, I the same with Ryan Vargas. Ryan Vargas goes there, and I know that they all had a conversation with him as well. You know, we're really good buddies. And you know, the biggest thing is, you know, it depends on what you want to do, right? So if I'm going to a new track that I've never been to, I'll be on iRacing for 6 hours. To practice and practice and practice, you got to watch film. You have to do a whole lot to zone into this race. You know, call a buddy of yours that you know has been to that racetrack, like a Ryan Vargas or a Spencer Boyd, right? And talk to them and say, hey, what did you do here, right? Like how much were you on the gas? What'd you do like that? Like you know, I one of the Pit Stop Performance drivers, Dawson Cram. He's never been to Kansas, but he's going to Kansas this weekend. And he knew that I qualified in that we had a good race. So he asked me, he said, hey, what did you do during qualifying? And it's just giving that insight and being able to talk about it in a different, you know, aspect. But for a driver's point of view, you know, the biggest thing is qualifying. You know, you have to push that car harder than what you ever have, going into the corner, and you just don't know if it's gonna stick or not, you know? And so it's kind of a scary deal, you know? And so from practice to qualifying, you know, practice, if you've never been to racetrack, you're just learning the racetrack. And then qualifying, you have to push the car hard. And going into the race, you know, that's where you can kind of calm down. You have 300 miles to get where you want to go. You don't need to, you know, get to the front on lap five. You know, you can let the race play out a little bit.
Yeah. The weekend is full of work. How many hours of sleep can you get from Saturday to Sunday?
Usually it's like the normal amount, you know, 8 hours, 9 hours. As a driver, you don't have to go to the racetrack as early as what the crew members do. I like to be there early just to help them out with anything, but also just to talk to the crew chief and debrief about, you know, practice qualifying, and also what we're going to do in the race, our strategy, what's going to happen there.
How vital would you say is it, especially for a young driver, to have those type of conversation with other drivers, like you mentioned, Ryan, Vargas, or even with the pit crew, with the over-the-wall crew, to say, okay, I'm like this when I'm come in, and also, but on track, are you following veteran drivers to learn and see more how they do take off a line, braking points, gas point, and so on?
Absolutely. So I mean, that's huge. You know, when you get behind a veteran, especially like a Justin Allgaier, you know, he's won a lot of races, and he's fast every single week, you know, or Ty Gibbs. You have to hop behind these guys and figure it out, you know. But talking to your crew chief, talking to your pit crew, and all that, that's crucial. Because if my pit crew says, hey, we want you to pull in a certain way, you know, you got to try to do that for them, so that, You got to hit it right every single time, because if I pull too far forward the first time and then not far enough the second time, it throws them off. And so you kind of have to finesse, the pit stops. But on top of that, having that conversation before the race of what's expected of you, that's huge.
How much pressure is it for you, especially when you come into pits, to say, okay, now I have to nail it practically, like, okay, now I have to hit my marks, be there for my crew. How hard is it for you mentally, but also physically?
Mentally, it's just a thinking game. Okay, say that somebody's already in the pit stall behind me, and they already have their right sides off, and they're going to the left. You have to be ready in case if he starts pulling out. You have to be ready. Pit stops are crazy. They really are. You have to throw it in there and make sure that you hit your marks. Physically, I think it's probably the easiest thing. Because now you're not all amped up. You're not, going 185. You're going 45 miles an hour, which is extremely hard to do in a fast car because you don't want to go 45 miles an hour. But it's one of those deals to where you really have to be mentally there.
Okay, what kind of a racetrack do you prefer, or do you have a top? The word is missing. Do you prefer short tracks? Do you prefer the cookie cutter? Do you prefer the super speedways or the road courses?
Right, for sure. They all drive different. That's one thing I will say. I grew up, as most, NASCAR drivers have, in being a short track racer. And you have to learn how to short track race. I do love short tracks, but I also love intermediates because you can kind of go faster, but it's also more aero dependent, and you could put your fender right on someone's quarter panel and suck them back. When it comes to super speedway racing, that's tight, action-packed racing. There's times that we'll be three wide and we're nose to tail 2 inches off of each other's bumpers. So I don't prefer anything really. It's just, I'm just happy to be here and be inside of a race car.
How do you prepare for those types of races, like for short track, intermediate, as you mentioned, with side draft or pack racing, but then short tracks you can bump and run practically, and the driver is going not to be hurt or something, because it's like the daily business on short tracks to bump, but on intermediates and super speedways you can't do that because of the risk of injure somebody.
Right, exactly. It's you got to prepare in a certain way. You have to race different at all tracks. So at Martinsville, we're gonna be bumping each other, and we're gonna be doing those bump and runs and moving the driver out of the groove in front of you to pass them. Usually in these type of cars, I try to keep it as clean as possible. I try to stay off of everyone and try to just pass in a clean manner. Does that always happen? No, but that's okay, and every NASCAR driver, they understand that is like, it is hard. Like, it is a hard thing to do, is to stay off someone's bumper. But as super speedway, those type of races are different. You hit the wall. You're hitting the wall going 200 miles an hour. As y'all saw, Ryan Preece, he flipped like 20 times. So it's You have to think a little bit more when you're, a lot closer, and you have to think about, what's going to happen if there's a 15 car pileup, So you just have to prepare differently, and just survive the race.
And how you came through your career just driving Chevrolet, like in the ARCA, the trucks, and Xfinity. Are you in a development program? Are you a Chevrolet fan, or is it like coincident? Okay, it just happened that it always was Chevrolet.
Absolutely. I am a Chevrolet guy. I am not a development driver for Chevrolet, but I do have a Chevy truck. I've always been a Chevrolet guy. But honestly, that's just the teams that we partnered up with, and they were just all Chevy. I'm not opposed to driving a Toyota. I'm not opposed to driving a Ford. The cars all do the same thing. They all go fast, and we all have fun.
and talking about the Xfinity move from trucks to Xfinity. As you mentioned, you ranked up pretty quickly. I think like five, six races in the truck, and then you're already in the Xfinity. How did it come together with Alpha Prime?
Yeah, that was 100% Austin again. You know, Austin, he takes care of my whole career. You know, he sets me up with specific teams, and we felt like that was our best shot was to go to Alpha Prime and you know learn a Xfinity car, and that's what we did, and we were quite successful. You know, at Loudon, we started 38th and finished 17th. You know, so we definitely had a very very good time. You know, learning the Xfinity cars, but like I said, they are, it is a huge jump, you know, from driving a truck to a Xfinity car. You know, they just drive so much different. So, we want to go to where we can learn.
Sounds great. Yeah, and staying with the Xfinity, you did your last race in Martinsville last year. This year you didn't race neither truck or Xfinity. What was the reason, if I can ask it straightforward like this?
Oh, absolutely. Funding. You know, that's what a lot of this is. You know, NASCAR is it's a very very good deal, but it comes with a lot of money. And if you don't have, you know, that capital or that money, it's tough to, you know, stay relevant in the sport. So right now we're in our fundraising mode. We're looking for partners as we speak right now, and hopefully, you know, we'll be back on the track ne next year.
Sounds great.
We wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We saw on your social media channel that you also get involved with mechanics and stuff. Like you try to repair your, I think, what was it, truck or tractor.
Yeah.
Are you learning to be how to be a mechanic, or was it like, okay, I did that all my youth and now I'm just carrying on because it's something that is also part of you?
It's just part of me, you know. Growing up on the farm, you know, I've had to fix the tractor multiple times, and you know, when there's a problem, you know, I like to think of myself as a problem solver. So, you know, I love working on stuff, you know, especially when I go up to Virginia to, you know, hang out, and if something goes wrong, which usually when you have a tractor or anything like that, something is fixing to go wrong eventually. So that's when I'm there, and that's when I have fun. So I'm not trying to become a mechanic in any way, shape, or form. I just enjoy, you know, getting my hands dirty and turning some wrenches.
And how is your daily life when you're back in Virginia? On your website, you wrote that you're involved in the community service and community programs, especially helping veterans. How much is it a part of your personality, but it helps you to develop as a person, as a young man?
Absolutely. You know, I believe community engagement's huge. You know, I've done it, you know, my whole life, and you know, even bringing the race car to a partner of mine, and you know, having a meet and greet, you know, that is huge. But on top of that, yes, I mean, you know, I've raised money for cancer. I've raised money for, you know, multiple deals, and that's just who I am as a person. I want to do good in this world and make a statement for, you know, when I'm not here anymore.
And speaking of development, obviously you are also trying to develop as a driver. Are you interested in dirt tracks or stuff like that to learn something new, new driving style? For example, like Christopher Bell or Kyle Larson are doing on the side, I say. But yeah, just to get more depth in your driving skills.
Absolutely, I'm not opposed to it, but again, that costs money, and it's one of those deals to where, you know, I'm not a dirt guy. I never grew up racing dirt. I've ran dirt 2 times in my whole life. You know, I've only ran one road course in my whole life. I've always been a, you know, an asphalt oval guy. So I'm not opposed to, you know, doing something different.
Did you ever had a major accident, or are you major accident free?
I've had a major accident. You know, we backed into the wall going 160. Did not feel very good. You know, so we've been in that position. I could proudly say that, we do not wreck often. But it is what it is. Stuff happens, and it's kind of just the name of the game, especially when you're, on rails going, 180 miles an hour. So you're always prone to wreck eventually, and you kind of just have to, take it on the chin and keep moving on.
Yeah, because the parts of our community watch these kind of racing because of the crashes. And is it the true that when you hit somebody or when you hit the wall, it gets quiet in the car?
I mean, it does, but it also it's like a feel. It just depends on how hard you hit, I mean, you'll like in trucks, you'll hear sheet metal rip, you'll hear all that. When you hit somebody else, right, it's just a different feeling. Or when somebody hits you, and it jolts you forward like that, it's just a weird feeling. But I've never been, it's never been quiet for me. It's just more of like you hear tires screeching and you just know, lock them up. Just lock up the tires and try not to hit anything.
When you have those type of accidents, do you or had, is it the fear of getting injured, like concussion, broken bones, stuff like that?
No, I mean, I'll be honest with you. I really think that, being a race car driver, going into these races, you just know that, anything's prone to happen, and you almost just have to make that bet, and just go, okay, well, if this happens to me, it is what it is, and you just move on from it. But every race car driver, I would like to say, we're fearless. We have to do our job, and our job is to go extremely fast and drive it erratically for 3 hours. So, with that being said, injuries happen, concussions happen, bones breaking happens, but there's really nothing else that you can do,
Yeah, Ryan Preece said you have to be tough after his heart accident.
Oh yeah,
And
absolutely.
I
I mean,
think that nailed it.
oh yeah, it's true. I mean, you have to be tough to take some of these hits.
Okay, yeah, that's true. That's probably part of the job. And then I think from my side, you answered all my question actually. I don't know, Daniel, maybe you.
Yeah, I have a last one. Have you ever been in Europe? Have you ever visited Europe?
I have not. I would love to. I would love to eventually. I would actually love to go to the town of Savino in Italy, just to see, where my lineage is from. So
Yeah.
that would definitely be awesome. But I would love to travel over there. Check out Paris. All the places.
Yeah, I wanted to ask if you heard about the German Autobahn.
What's that?
The German highway. German Autobahn, where you can drive as fast as you can, and it's legal.
Yes, I have. My grandfather, he was actually in the military and army, and he was stationed over in Germany, and so I think that he drove on that road or something like that. He's a little sketchy.
Okay.
Yeah, then Howie, thank you for being part of this interview. Thank you for your time. I can say I gladly enjoyed it. I hope you too. And if you go to Italy one day, type me a text message so I can show you around
Absolutely, I
the
certainly
country.
will, and I certainly appreciate y'all, reaching out, and on top of that, this was a great conversation, and I can't wait to have this published out.
Yes, thanks a lot. I wish you all the best, and I wish that we can see you on track as fast as possible again.
Absolutely,
Yeah.
absolutely.
Have a nice day.
Thank you.
Bye bye.
Bye.